Welcome back to another episode of Tell Me Sis Podcast featuring your two favorite sisters,
Alex
and Kyla.
Happy Friday.
My sister is sick, so
hello.
You're going to hear a little bit of a cracky voice in this episode.
I'm trying my best, guys. Okay, it's been 2 weeks I've had this cold now. My voice has been gone for the past 5 days and it's just not getting better.
Well, you sent me a voice note yesterday morning. We were supposed to record yesterday and you had absolutely
yesterday no voice. Was the worst until the evening. It kind of came back, but I literally was talking like this.
Oh, like, my God.
So bad. I don't know what this cold is, you guys, or I don't know if it's the cold itself or it's because I'm pregnant, so I can't take any cold medication. So I'm just like, it's lasting so long, I'm just suffering. But I have to say, I would much rather have this than like a flu.
Yeah.
Because this is just more annoying. I'm like, okay, I'm congested and like my voice is gone. But like, that's it. I don't have fever. I don't have chills. I don't have any issues in like my bowels or like no vomiting. It's just literally just an annoying cold that I can't sleep properly at night.
Yeah.
So I'm like, whatever. I'll take it. I'll take the cold. It'll be fine. It's just my voice.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like Phoebe from Friends when she's like, she thinks she has a sexy voice. Or is it Monica? I don't remember. But it's Friday.
It's Friday. And I'm happy that you're feeling a lot better.
Yeah. Like, other than just the annoyance of the cold, like, I feel totally fine. So I can still work. It's just more like the fact that we have this podcast. I'm like, oh, no. I hope people aren't going to be so annoyed over my voice because it's... I've tried everything. I've tried having tea. I've tried drinking a ton of water. Just doing the saline rinses, like everything. And it's just, this is the best it's going to be right now.
Yeah.
So.
And like, also we just wanted to record. Yeah. And like, because you've been sick for so long and it's just not going away. Yeah. It's like, okay. I mean, you feel fine at this point. Yeah. It's just, you have no voice. So it's like, let's just record.
Yeah.
Okay. Life updates. What has happened in the last week? Well, I don't want to talk about it actually. Okay. It's good.
Yeah.
But like too soon.
Yeah.
What else?
Well, like, I was away.
Yeah. You went to New York.
We went to upstate New York. A lot of people were so confused. They're like, why would you go there? And I'm like, why wouldn't I go there? It's like when we went to Maine in the summer. It's so pretty.
Yeah.
It's just like.
How far of a drive was it?
4 hours.
Okay.
It's not even that bad.
How long were you there for again?
We left on Friday and came back on a Tuesday.
Okay.
So a good amount of time.
Yeah.
I don't know. We had purposely gone to like have just a small little vacation away with just the three of us. Because we really liked when we went to Maine in the end of the summer. Mm-hmm. And I was like, where could we go? That's like early spring. We don't have to fly there. But like, it's not as cold as Canada.
Yeah.
Because it's weird. Even if we went east or west in Canada, like if we went to Quebec City or if we went to like Toronto or something, it's still the same temperature as Montreal. But like 4 hours south was so much warmer. It was like 13 degrees.
It's almost like as soon as you cross the border into the States, it's like.
Yeah, it's like literally just snows. It's so weird. So we had left. It was freezing cold in Montreal, snowing. We drove down to upstate New York. We stayed in a little town called Hudson, and it was 13 degrees the day that we got there. Went up to 18.
That's crazy.
So it was so warm. We were outside in like t-shirts.
Also, only 4 hours of a drive. I know. To drive to Toronto, it's like 5 or 6 hours.
True. But Quebec City's 3 or 3.5.
Yeah, but Quebec City's north, so.
Oh, it's true. You're right. Anyways, so we decided we wanted to go on a little trip that was like really nice spring weather, and we had booked it like 2 weeks prior. And we knew there was a few towns around that area that we had like wanted to go visit, and they're all around half an hour of each other. So we just found an Airbnb in this place called Hudson. It's really cute, old farmhouse.
I thought it
style.
Looked so cute, that area.
It
that
was
you were in.
Super super cute.
I didn't even know that you were going away, so I was so confused. I saw one of your TikToks that
really?
You were in upstate New York. Yeah, you never you didn't mention anything to me.
Well, yeah, because the last podcast I was like, we have to record in advance because I'm leaving for the weekend.
Yeah, but I didn't realize you were going to, like, New York.
Oh.
I thought maybe it was just, like, you were going, like, somewhere up north or whatever. So I saw one of your TikToks, and I was like, oh, what? She's in New York. And then mom and dad were, before you got back, they were like, is Alex home from New York yet? And they were asking me these questions. And I was like, I didn't even know that she was in New York. I didn't even know that, like, how long she was going to be away. Like, in my mind, I was like, maybe she's just gone for, like, two or three. Like, I don't know.
Weird. They knew, though. Anyways, whatever.
You didn't tell them?
No, I did. I told them the dates we were gone and we were going because they asked.
So, oh, you're saying weird that they didn't know.
Yeah, weird that they did, that they asked you, because, like, anyways, whatever.
Maybe they just forgot.
Yeah, but we had a really good time, other than the fact that we were all sick. Like, but it's the same thing as, like, we're not sick to the point of, like, we didn't want to leave the house. It's
just, I feel like this winter, though, even me, it was just, I was, first of all, you know me, I never get sick, knock wood, I don't want to jinx myself, but even with colds, like, I barely even get colds, and when I do get a cold, it's there for, like, a day or two, and then, like, I have a good immune system.
You've always been like that as kids.
So it goes away. And so this winter, it's not that my colds were lasting a long time. They would come and then go, but it was, like, frequently I was getting colds.
So annoying.
And I don't understand why. Everyone was getting sick all winter.
I know. It's crazy.
Which is weird because we had a good winter, too.
I know. Maybe because it was so nice, we were seeing more people. I don't know. It's just one of those things that, like, it happens at this time of year. It usually change in seasons. I know, like, everyone was talking about norovirus and, like, how it's been so bad this year, like, gastro, whatever. But, like, I was talking to a friend of mine who is a doctor, and then, like, another friend who's a nurse, and she's like, there's literally a spike every year at this time of those cases. Like, between February to April, it's always, there's a huge spike in that because that's
of, just, like, gastro cases?
Yeah, just every year. But people, like, for some reason, fear mongrel. I don't know. But I was like, just thankful it's, like, it's not
people,
that.
It's like when people talk about the weather in Montreal. Like, oh my God, it was nice yesterday. Today is disgusting. And in my head, I'm like, you've lived in Montreal your entire life. Like, it's always been like this.
I know. Or, like, every April when it snows, people are like, it's snowing in April. And I'm like, it snows every April. And everyone panics.
I always get so confused. I'm like, yeah, it's snowing in April. Like,
it doesn't last.
It's more weird to me that you're surprised.
I know, but it's a, I literally remember in high school people being like, oh my God, it's snowing in April.
I will say, though, like, our springs used to be much longer when we were kids. I feel like now it almost goes from winter to, like, a week of spring and then summer.
I think we're gonna get a spring this year, though, because it's already been kind of spring for, like, 3 weeks. Today's cold, but, like, it's gonna warm up by next week again.
I like spring, but it's just, that's the one thing I will say. But even at that, it's like, I'm not complaining.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just,
I'd rather just, like, go straight into summer.
I don't know. I don't want winter to last till May.
But I feel, I know. But also, it starts snowing a lot later now. Like, it used to start snowing in, like, October, November. And, like, I mean, this winter was just, like, there was no snow. But, like, last, like, winter of 2022, it only started snowing, like, end of December.
We had the most amount of snow that year.
And also, we had that ice storm in April.
Of last year?
Yeah, that was bad.
Ugh, see, I don't... This is the thing, it's climate change. Like, we know it's climate change. My voice, what the fuck? Yeah. I sound like...
I could do most of the talking in this episode. Also, I'm the one that wanted to talk about this. But it's also something that I... Anyways, I guess we're going to get into the topic. It's something that I recently found out about myself because I don't know if I've mentioned this, but it's been a few months now, started seeing a new therapist and she's amazing. Yeah. I really, really like her. And it's not that I didn't like the one that I had for years prior to seeing this girl. It was just more... I felt like with my other therapist, I was never being called out on, like, things that I need to do to improve or when I'm in the wrong about something. I felt like it was always just, like, reassuring me.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I was like, no, I want to be more self-aware and, like, I want to be called out on things and whatnot. And so I came across this girl and... I really liked her right off the bat. And that's something that she does with me is that she'll call me out on things and she'll, you know, make me realize things about myself. And, like, sometimes in the moment, it's not easy to hear, but she's also really good at, like, reassuring too.
Yeah.
But anyways, long story short, something that I talk, well, the main thing that I talk about is, work and like managing my stress and my anxiety and like how I'm a huge people pleaser, and that can like be such a burden. Mm-hmm. And it takes up so much of my energy being a people pleaser.
Yeah.
And that comes, I guess, from, I guess, like self-worth in a sense, where it's like, I feel like maybe subconsciously, like I'm not good enough. So I feel like I need to like always make people happy. But she made me realize that it's actually not, you don't have anxiety. She goes, actually, a lot of like what you consider anxiety is actually more shame, mm-hmm. because you care what people think. But then she made me realize that I'm a perfectionist. And I always thought that being a perfectionist was someone that pays attention to every single little detail and like nothing looks like, because I do a lot of social media. So it's like if I take a video or a picture, like I'll make sure that before it goes up, like everything is like super in focus. Like there's nothing like that I need to edit out of the photo. Everything is nothing is like crooked or on an angle. Like I would assume prior that like that's what a perfectionist is. She goes, that's what a lot of people think a perfectionist is. But she sent me an article. It was really interesting. I read through the entire thing. But being a perfectionist is actually more so about having incredibly high, to the point of it being unrealistic, standards for yourself. Oh, so wow. Everyone needs to be happy at all times. Any kind of disappointment is seen as like you're horrible at what you do. Mm. And this is only happening to me because I'm not good enough. Whereas like it's just the reality of the situation is that like you're gonna disappoint people at times. It doesn't mean that like they think you're incompetent or anything. Yeah.
Maybe I'm a perfectionist because I feel that way.
We will hyper fixate on like details that don't even matter. We tend to focus way more on the negative as opposed to the positive. So it's like I could get really positive feedback, but I'll in my mind, I'm like, oh, it's anyone could have done that.
Right.
Or I'll think to myself like, OK, I like that I'm getting positive feedback, but I feel like I could have done better.
Yeah.
Like,
and then you focus on the negative.
Yeah. And then like, if I get more negative feedback on something, I take it as I suck. I'm incompetent. And that's what I focus most of my energy on.
Yeah.
When it's really not the reality. And so something that I'm actively working on right now is being okay with like disappointing people, mm-hmm. when Which it comes hard to work to do. It's really hard to do, especially because I've like this is such a recent realization that I've
is this something that stems with. From childhood, you think, or is it something that you develop over time?
To be honest, I have absolutely no idea.
Because did you think you were like this as a kid? Because I don't think, I mean, obviously I'm not you, but from my perspective, it didn't never seem like that.
I mean, as a kid, I also wasn't...
You weren't a people pleaser as a kid, though.
But also as a kid, I was definitely way more of a people pleaser as a kid.
Really?
I've always been a people pleaser. I've always been very sensitive. I feel like you, mom and dad, always thought that I was a lot more tough because they would compare me to you.
And no, but I'm talking like kid. Not like, okay, I know you're still
a kid. Well, when you're a 10. kid, you're not... You don't develop these kinds of... You know, you're not going to be a people pleaser.
I was at like 4.
Really? Being a people pleaser? Yeah, like I have
memories.
I don't know, honestly. I don't know what it stems from, but it's just my character. I'm more of a people pleaser, and I'm a perfectionist too. And it's just, it's especially now that I'm freelancing, I feel like I need to be going above and beyond to make sure my clients are happy. But then it just gets to a point where I'm going to burn out.
Yeah.
Because also, a lot of the time, when you're a freelancer, you'll notice that people want you to do more than what is stated in your contract. And they don't want to pay for things.
Right.
And so you have to put your foot down. And you have to know your worth. And so it's been a huge struggle.
Actually, a lot of photographers struggle with that.
Yeah.
A lot of artists, a lot of entrepreneurs, because like... There's a balance. It's like a dance between like knowing your worth, but also like going quote unquote above and beyond for your clients. Because you want to do a good job. You want to have a good impression. But at the same time, you also can't be taken advantage of.
Yeah.
And some people are just not aware. Yeah. They're not even aware that they're taking advantage of someone.
Yeah. But that's exactly it. Like sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. But regardless, it's like you have to, I have to continuously stick to these boundaries that I set for myself. And sometimes it can be really difficult because it's like, yeah, technically I could do this and it doesn't take that much time, but
this is how it starts.
But you give someone an inch, they could take it a mile. And it's like, it does add up over time.
Yeah, and you need to have a set boundary to stick to, because the minute you start crossing that line, then it's like, well, you did that, why can't you do this now?
Yeah, exactly. And I also need to remind myself that even if someone's disappointed in something, like, it doesn't mean that I'm not good at what I do.
No.
It sometimes has absolutely nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. And it's just the situation and people are stressed and whatnot. So
it's tough, though.
It is really tough. And it's a struggle for me, you know, and because I want everyone to be happy at all times and I want to do the best I can at all times, mm-hmm. I need to reset my standards for myself because it's unrealistic, and I need to get okay with disappointing people. And, like, you know, one of the things my therapist said to me was, the happiest people in the world don't have issues. It's not that they don't have issues, it's that when things do happen in their life, they're able to move on from it and like see the bigger picture.
It's like what daddy always says, like, let it go.
But that's exactly it, you know, like, they're okay with not being in control at all times. They're also okay with upsetting people. Okay, granted, like, you still want to do a good job, but, like, when something does happen and, like, you know, someone's upset with something you've said or done or whatever it is, or they're stressed, something's not working out properly, people that are the most happy will just be like, this is part of life. Like, you know, they're able to accept, like, that this is just part of life, and they're able to move on because everyone's going to have hurdles and bumps and everything, you know? But I'm the type of person, like, as a perfectionist, it's almost like, you know, we put so much of our self-worth in the hands of someone else, and but to a fault, like, it's just to a point where it doesn't even make sense. And that was another thing that my therapist was saying. She goes, you know, let's say, because I have a really difficult client that I work with. It's very, very recent. Uh-huh. It's been like a month now. And this person is just extremely difficult. And I was like really, really stressed out all the time. And like, it was just, there was a lot going on. And my therapist literally asked me, she goes, do you look up to this person though? And I was like, what do you mean? She goes, do you look up to them? Like, the way that they work, what they do, who they are as a person, like, the way they communicate, like, do you have anything, is there anything about them that, like, you really look up to and you have a lot of respect for? And I was like, trying to think. And then after like a few, like almost a minute of thinking, I was like, honestly, no. She's like, so why do you care so much what this person thinks? And I was like, maybe it's also because it's like, I don't want to lose them as a client. And she's like, but you also don't want to be working with like a such a difficult client to a point where it's going to like affect your mental health. Like, she goes, obviously, like, we know how you are, and this is something that you need to work with. You need to work on with, which is like being okay with setting boundaries, sticking to them, and like knowing your worth.
Yeah.
But if you're working with a client that is just so difficult, and like you're realizing that it's just taking up too much of your energy, it's not even worth it. Like, you can find another client.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, you're so fucking right. So I ended up like, I'm no longer working with that client. I told the client, like, essentially, like, we can't work together anymore. Yeah. And it was done in a very professional way. And like, they were like, you know, asking like questions, like, is everything okay? Like, you know, I know I can be like X, Y, and Z and whatever, but I was just like, I didn't want to say it, but I was just kind of like, no, listen, like,
do you think they'll listen to this?
No.
Okay.
This person is like completely off social media. Okay. And that's why I was doing a lot of their social media. Doesn't even know how to like post an Instagram picture. But I was like, it's just a lot more time consuming. And I think that what you want and what your budget is just doesn't align with what I'm like, we're are what yeah. we're both looking for isn't aligning right now. And as opposed to continuing down this path, we like, maybe you should look into getting like another social media manager and whatnot. Yeah. And so, and that having that conversation was so stressful, but like I did it and I was really proud of myself. And I just feel a lot better. And like, I just need to continuously remind myself that not everything is a personal attack on me.
Yeah. But it's hard even in like, like friend relationships, romantic relationships.
Yeah.
Like,
it yeah, because being a perfectionist isn't just like, you won't always be just a perfectionist when it comes to work. Like that also goes into your personal life mm-hmm. in all, it goes into like all aspects of your life. So like I'm also a perfectionist when it comes to dating, let's say.
Yeah.
My standards for myself are just like unrealistically high.
Yeah.
And like if there's any kind of rejection, I take it as like, oh my god, I'm not good enough, there's something wrong with me, all these things. But realistically, it's like, or maybe just like,
you're just not compatible.
Yeah, we're just not compatible, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, because like, what, you think you're gonna be compatible with every single person in the world that you like have a crush on?
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, when you're not emotionally involved, like it's easy to say that.
Yeah.
But then it's like, when there's feelings, it's hard, right?
Yeah.
Or like with work, you care about your job, so you care about doing a good job.
Yeah.
But it's like, at what worth?
Yeah.
Because then it's, if you do, let's say, a quote-unquote bad job, and then what? Okay, so you learn from your mistakes, you move on. Like, there's so many things that, like, you can't until you're, excuse me, until you're actually, like, going through it and learning from it, you don't know until you're there.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense. So, like, for example, even with launching this clothing brand, like, we were told by our team and my management and everything that, like, there's gonna be issues no matter what. Like, any person that comes out with any kind of brand, there, someone will have issues with something. And it's like, it's not your job to fix every single issue, because sometimes things are just out of your hands. So like, we have a team that is customer service that we have to direct people to. And it's not like, it's not us being rude. It's like that we have no control over something.
Yeah.
Like, we are just, Our job to come out with this brand is, we care about the clothes, how the clothes are made, what they look like, and making sure that people get them, okay? Obviously, if there's something wrong with the clothes, or people aren't getting them properly, or like there's something like that, obviously we want to fix that, because
And like, you see how anal I'm being about it too, where I'm like, oh my god, I need to make sure that, like,
yeah, but it's like, at the end of the day, like, we only have so much control. Like, if you're ordering online from a clothing company, and like, you're being charged, let's say, customs, like, we have no control over what your customs will be, or like the fact that you will or won't have customs. Like, even when I order from like certain companies, sometimes I get charged customs and sometimes I don't. And it's like, the company itself has no control over the border agencies and the shipping company. Like, it's all different. So depending on where you're ordering from in the world, you might be charged customs, you might not. You might have, you know, UPS delivering, or you might have DHL, or you might have Canada Post. Like, there's so many different shipping companies and just different ways of doing things around the world that we have no control over. And so we knew going into it that some people, like, let's say their order got lost, like, it's like, okay, well, I am not control over, let's say, DHL, who lost your order. So like, I can't do anything about that. Like, you have to contact DHL. I'm not saying that's happened, by the way. Like, that's just an example that our team had, like, given us before we even launched. Is like, sometimes there will be issues, and like, you just have to keep your boundary of like, we don't have control over this. There's nothing we can reach out to customer service and ourselves, but it's like, okay, but so what, we're gonna do that for hundreds of people? Like, we're a small business. We're also learning.
Yeah.
We also can't compete with these big, like, let's say, Free People that has like an amazing customer service team that has millions of dollars into it. It's like, we put all this money up front, and like, we're paying a customer service team to help us and to teach us. And like, we've been live for like 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
It's like not even very long. So we just want to say thank you guys for being so patient with us and being so supportive.
Honestly, the support we have been receiving is like absolutely incredible. But then it just goes to show too that like, as much like 90% of it has been support.
I would say 98%.
Yeah, like it's mainly support that we've been receiving and like very happy shoppers and experiences. Yeah. But then like the few times there has been something that goes wrong, even though we did get this warning prior from our team, I was so like, you're so good at being
you're
like
thinking you have a harder time than I do.
Well, it's also because I'm a people pleaser, and then my perfectionist side is like everything has to be good at all times. Mm-hmm. So like I almost like take it upon myself, but then I'm like, no, I need to take a step back.
But it's also like sometimes, like I've been ordering online for years, okay? I've been ordering online before I even like made good money. So yeah. Like I know how things work, right? If someone is getting mad at us or getting upset with the fact that like they're being charged extra for duties,
yeah,
like maybe because they've never ordered online before or like they don't know, so like grant for, you know, like maybe they just are not aware, but like it's a very common thing that happens.
Yeah.
And so for myself, if I were to order from someone, especially a small business, yeah, and then I got charged a lot of money for customs, I would never be mad at that company.
Yeah.
Because like it's not like that has nothing to do with their company. Yeah. At all.
Yeah.
And so it's just tough because like you're put into these situations where you're like, you feel bad. Yeah. And you do feel bad, but there's nothing you can do. Like that's, yeah, like that's just kind of the way ordering online goes. And we would love to be able to have a pop-up shop in Montreal or go around and have pop-up shops everywhere, but like we also don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
We're not super rich, so it's like these things cost.
Yeah.
So we just launched. These are things that we would love to do in the future, but like we have to get there.
Yeah.
We have to get there slowly. Yeah. And this is a slow burn. It's not something that we just come out with and then we're like, here's our thing. And like every season we're going to have new launches. And it's like, no, everything like takes time, especially when you start slow.
Yeah, exactly. And like we're also getting to know like what you guys like and, yeah, what you want from us and which items we should, you know, come out with again, and then which items we can be like, okay, well,
yeah,
maybe we won't come out with these items again, we'll just like once they sell out, like that's it.
Yeah.
And then like we'll restock with something new.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it's exactly that. Like it's a process. It takes a lot of time, and we don't even know just yet if we're able to, well, we know we can't come out with any summer clothing now because it's too late, but like maybe like fall, something for fall, but like even at that it's like we need to just, you know, take our time.
Yeah, like this is a 5-year process for me, a 2-year process once Kyla was on board.
Also guys, I want to clarify because I was getting DMs from a lot of people. They were like, oh, like this is your sister's clothing line and then you just kind of like, you know, onboarded or whatever. And I was like, well, to be clear, before I, like, Tomo the label was never in existence before I came on. No. My sister was thinking about doing a completely separate thing and then realized that she didn't want to go down that route and she wanted to do something a lot more just kind of, like, fashion related, and reached out to me because she always saw herself working with me. And so I agreed to it, and then that's when I started talking with my sister and her management, and we came up with Tomo the label together.
Yeah.
Like this was both of our, it's not like my sister was working on Tomo the label and then I just kind of like came into it. Like, mm-hmm, Tomo the label would not have existed or didn't exist before.
So I'll put some more clarity to that. Okay. So prior to COVID, this is like 2018 we're talking about now.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh my God, it's 2024. So like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I had another manager, mm-hmm, and I wanted to come out with my own clothing line. Looking at all these manufacturers, all these things, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Getting into the process. Then I get pregnant. Okay, that's kind of hard to do certain things because I'm pregnant now. And, like, I don't want this to be a maternity line. But, like, I don't want, because I'm the only person at this point, right?
Yeah.
So then I'm like, hey, let's hold off and wait till, like, I have my baby and then like whatever. So I have my baby and then I'm like, okay, well maybe actually let's make this a mommy and me line. Like I'll have clothing for like women that can also be for moms. And then like the excess material that we don't use can be made into like baby clothes.
Yeah.
But then it's like as time was going on, I was like, I don't want to have to like use my kid as a model. And like, I just don't want to be always known as a mom because that's not my thing.
Yeah.
Like for a while in COVID, it was. And then with
but you had years prior to COVID that you were known for like your hair
and my fashion.
Fashion.
So I was like, okay, well, in this realm of my life right now, I'm a mom, but I'm not, and I'm not going to not be a mom again. But it's like, that's not all I am.
Yeah.
And then with also on top of it, what was turning me off was the fact that with COVID, there was like a million delays and like everything was a mess at that point, right? Yeah. 2020, 2021, it was a mess. Then I moved, whatever. And then when we decided the conversation again, and by the way, this is years of us working, going back and forth with different suppliers, different manufacturers, different, like, what are we going to do? What's the brand? Blah, blah, blah. Concepts. Then finally, we sat down to have a meeting. I was like, guys, I don't want to do Mommy and Me. I want to do just a clothing line, but I would love to be able to bring my sister in on this. On like, I would love to be able to do something with her, because growing up in a family of like a small business, and my uncle and my dad work together, and like we have a family business, it's something I always wanted in the future. I just didn't know what I wanted it to be. And my sister also loves fashion, and I feel like this could be a really, really good idea. But before I run it by her or even ask her, what do you guys think? And they were like, that's amazing. Like, we love that idea. So when I approached you, like, by the way,
that's
like,
also not something that you see too often, is two sisters, two like women who are also sisters, like running a business together.
No, like you'll see it here and there, and you'll see friends and whatever.
Yeah, it's not like it never happened, but it's just not really like a
common thing,
which I think brings more authenticity.
Yeah. So I when I did approach it to Kyla, I was like, listen, this is like what I've been doing for the past few years. I don't want to go in that direction anymore. I would love to go into a direction with you and like have you come on board as equal. And like, we think about the clothing pieces we want, think about the name that we want, we think about like how we're going to do it. So before we even reached out to any manufacturers or suppliers, then Kyla and I started discussing. So then that's when it really started.
Yeah.
And that's when the ball started rolling. And because it was already past, you know, the high of COVID, things are still delayed because that's just how shit works now. But like, it's not as bad. So we were able to get the ball rolling. It's a process. It's a long process.
Yeah.
And also because we were putting the money up front ourselves, that took time for us to save.
Yeah.
So like, it's just certain things like that that people aren't usually aware of. When people start small businesses, it's like, how did you come to start this? Like, what happened? Like, where's the money from? Is it from you? Is it from someone else? Because I have friends that like have clothing lines, or not even clothing lines. They just have businesses that they'll have investors.
Yeah.
So they don't even put any of the money up themselves. And like, they'll make a little bit of money from it, but it's not like they don't own the company. You know?
Yeah. Like, that was something that was very, very important to us, is that we wanted to own the company.
Yeah.
And like, if ever we want to go completely independent, we own the IP, meaning like the company is registered under us. Mm-hmm. So if ever we're working with like independent, like marketing agencies or manufacturing agencies, customer service, like none of those people are putting any of their money into things.
Yeah.
We own the IP and we're paying them to do these jobs, and if we want to be completely on our own and do everything ourselves one day, we can.
Yeah.
And that was something that, because we really see ourselves doing this long term, like this is just a passion of ours, like we've always wanted to do this, and I'm happy that we were both on the same page with that as well, because I was like, I would never be able to put my blood, sweat, and tears into my own business just for like other people to like also own it. And
it depends on your goals, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want it to be long term, you want it to be something where you make a quick buck, like maybe that's something you would do. I don't know, I'm not in those shoes, but
yeah.
We also discussed too, like, going into business with your sibling, you know there's gonna be shit, right?
Yeah.
And we've talked about this in other episodes, how like there has been like arguments and stuff, but that's normal. That happens. And we said from the get-go that, like, we're never going to, like, let our sisterly issues get in the way of, like, business.
And actually, like, there's been a few times where we've, like, had small arguments here and there. And then the second it comes to work, we were able to, like, put that aside. And then, like, actually, we went in, like, business mode.
Yeah.
And anytime, like, there was, like, miscommunication when it came to work, like, when it came to Tomo, and we wouldn't like argue about it, but we were just kind of like, I think it was just miscommunication. It was really nice because we were both willing to, like, I was willing to hear your yeah. where you were coming from. You were able to hear where I was coming from. And then we were able to come to like a mutual agreement and like move on from it.
Because my biggest concern going into it was like being a little nervous that there'd be like animosity from yeah. like past stuff, like resentment and like yeah. whatever. And so that's what I was nervous for. But I feel like not only has it really actually helped to be in business together because we have to like work together on things and communicate, it's actually helped our relationship outside of work.
Yeah, because typically we recently had like there was like a miscommunication situation.
Yeah.
And you know, our relationship as sisters has always been that you were always more confrontational.
Yeah.
And you would speak your mind, whereas I was always the more quiet. I would bite my tongue.
Yeah.
I never really like voiced how I was feeling.
Yeah.
And there was a situation recently. Well, since we started Tomo, I've been a lot more open when it comes to like my opinion and how yeah. I'm feeling about things.
But I think honestly, in general, you've been like that with everyone.
But mainly when it comes to Tomo, I've definitely yeah. been a lot better in my life. But especially when it comes to work, just because I think that it's so important for there to be no animosity. Yeah. And I know that when I do bite my tongue and I just accept things, even though I'm not happy, that will create animosity. Yeah. So it's like by me being open, I'm actually like trying to
yep.
like do something good. So I was very open with my sister about something. And because you weren't used to like me being open, you took it as like me like arguing with you, when in reality I was like, no, I'm actually just telling you that like this is something that I think is really important and this is something I think we really need to do. And I feel like you're taking it more as me trying to argue, when in reality this is just me being open, like openly communicating with you. And because you're not used to me being like that, because yeah. I was never like that in the past, it's like to you, you're thinking like, oh, she must be so pissed off right now if she's actually saying something to me. But I was like, no. Because, like, let's say this same situation happened and, like, it wasn't, like, for work.
Yeah.
I would have just kept my mouth shut, but then in my head been, like, everything that I said to you, I would have been thinking and feeling. And I would have never said anything.
Yeah. Which then doesn't work, because then, like, if the other person has no idea how you're feeling,
yeah.
how is anything going to get better?
Exactly. And then we were able to, like, you were, like, super receptive and, like, yeah. you were happy that I was, you know, really, like, sticking to it and like being open. Because another thing that I tend to do is like when I do finally open up to someone about how I'm feeling or what I'm thinking, if they ever try to go against what I'm feeling, again, I think this comes down to being a people pleaser yeah. and like not wanting to be confrontational or have an argument, I'll just be like, oh, okay, whatever, like you're right, just for the sake of like not having an argument. Yeah. But like this time around I was like, no, actually, like, there's nothing you can say that's going to change how I feel.
Yeah.
I'm willing to, like, you know, have an open conversation about it. Yeah. But, like, this is how I feel. I'm sticking to what I truly believe. And I'm going to continue talking to you about it, even if you don't think it's as big of a deal. Like, if it's important to me, it's important.
Yeah.
Like, it was almost like a test to myself to be like, no, you're stick to your guns, Kyla. You know? Because I tend to get more like
But you also tend to like assume things too, which was I think why yeah. I felt like we were arguing is yeah. because I was like, you're telling me that I'm feeling this way when that's yeah. not how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And so that's the one thing that I was like, I feel like it's great that you're communicating and you're being open, but you also have to be receptive over the fact that like just because you think something in your head doesn't
make
true.
It reality. Yeah,
exactly. So like just because you're assuming that I feel this way doesn't mean I'm actually feeling that way or thinking
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So it's for like sure. it was really
which
good.
I was, by the way, to clarify.
What?
That I was very receptive. Like
when
when you brought that up, I was like, yeah, no, you're right. I do tend to assume things. But it also helped that like you were being more receptive, because at first it started as like you felt very attacked.
Yeah.
And so you started getting defensive.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, like this is not what I was trying to do. And as the conversation was going on, I was like, no, I can't just settle for like what's going on. Like I really need to put my foot down and like not only clarify what my intentions are, but also like speak my mind because I don't want there to be animosity.
Yeah.
And then eventually you were like, you know what? Like, you're right. I'm really sorry for thinking that way and for thinking that, like, you were trying to argue and whatever. And then I was like, yeah, I'm sorry for, like, you know, just assuming, like, what you're thinking, like, what your intentions are and stuff.
It was a really good conversation.
It was a really good. And by the way, also another, like, thing to clarify is that we didn't get into, for everyone listening, we didn't get into, like, this whole big, huge argument. It was, like,
it was a text message conversation.
It was a text message conversation, and it was, like, what, 10 minutes?
No, not even.
Like, it was very quick. But I think that also, yeah, like, just me being such a people pleaser and like, a perfectionist is, like, people need to be happy at all times with me. And, like, any kind of disappointment means that I'm incompetent, when in reality it's, like, no.
No.
What would make people respect me more and know that I'm not incompetent is if I actually tell them what they know, what they don't want to hear.
Yeah.
And stick to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I remember after that conversation, I was like, wow, that was, like, a really good talk that Kyla and I just had.
Yeah. It was. I felt really
good. And I was like, I'm really glad that she, like, opened up. And I even told you this. I was like, thank you. Like, I don't ever want you to feel like, even if I do get defensive, like, from the get-go, just as much as, like, you're trying to work on yourself, I'm still obviously working on myself. Yeah. And, like, don't be scared to, like, push back.
Yeah.
Because, like, eventually it will turn out to be a good conversation. Like, if I'm not understanding where you're coming from.
Yeah.
You know, like, it takes time. Like, relationships, they're a two-way street, and it takes time, and, like, it's a learning process. And I don't know, I feel like this has been, like, the best for our relationship, because it's actually made us so much stronger and, like, have less animosity towards each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know, it just makes me excited for the future.
I know, me too. And I like it that I think we've already spoken about this on one of our, like, last episodes. I think it was our last episode, where the fact that we're sisters and working together, it's like we're not as worried about the relationship just completely going to shit.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you know, if you're working with a best friend or a friend, and, like, you guys have even just, like, 20% of, like, the arguments we've had, it's possible that, like, you know, friendship's over and the business is done.
Well, that's the thing, is that, okay, we're not saying that, like, families can't split up because of business, because that's happened before. Yeah. I actually know people that's happened to. But at the same time, if it was a friend, because, like, the fights we've had in the past, not when we started a business together, but just, like, growing up, like, our fucking crazy fights, I'm like, there's no way I would stay friends with someone if we fought like that.
No.
But because we're sisters, it's like, it's
just, I used to think to myself, oh my God, I would never be friends with her. Like, what? She is crazy. But
then we became best friends.
Obviously, but we were also, like, best friends at the same time. Like, I would think that, but, like, at the same time, I still wanted to just, like, follow in your footsteps with everything. And I thought that everything you said and everything, like, all the ways that you felt or whatever, like, I would just believe it, like, as if it was, like, God.
It's true. I am a goddess. Thank you for that. No.
But
you know those TikToks where it's like you're fighting with your sibling and 5 minutes later it's like, you want to go with Starbucks? Yeah. And like, yeah, sure. It's like, literally, that was us.
Literally.
So I don't know. It's like, it's good that, like, I've been working on myself. It's good that you're really actively, like, working. It's not that I'm not actively working on myself. It's just, I feel like it's been a long process.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you're really in, like, a good place right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just very excited.
Well, I'm getting there. I feel like it's, I don't think it's ever going to be, like, 100%.
No, but nothing,
like,
is.
You're in such a good place and everything is good. Like, there's obviously still, like, obstacles and, like, challenges and stuff. But I'm definitely overall in a good place. And, like, I'm not, I used to be walked all over, even when it came to friendships.
Yeah.
Like, girlfriends growing up, you know, if. Like, my girlfriends would have no issue, like, speaking their mind, saying things to me that would either, like, be hurtful or, like, it would make me kind of, like, upset or whatever. And then I would just kind of, like, be bossed around.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, now I'm not as scared to be, like, you know, I'm trying to think of an example. Like, me wanting to do something and my friend and being like, you want to do it? And my friend having no problem being like, honestly, no, I don't really feel like doing this. I would rather do this instead. And I'm like, oh, okay, let's just do it. And then, like, just going along with what they want. Whereas now I'm a lot more like, okay, well, like, I don't really feel like doing that.
Yeah.
So, like, feel free. Like, you can go ahead and do it. Like, I'm going to go do my thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not as much of, like, a just telling the person what they want to hear and going along with it.
Yeah, because then that just builds resentment and it makes you, like, not even enjoy yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, who knows? Maybe, like, they don't actually care.
No,
and
exactly. And you would never know that. Well, anytime I've said that, because all of the friends that I have in my life are, at least now, are very, they're really good friends. Like, they're very mature, they're supportive and whatever. Like, it's not a thing. But I think it's more common. Still happens when you're older, though. Don't get me wrong. But, like, it's definitely more common when you're younger.
Yeah.
Girls can be extremely manipulative and it's not fun.
No. And it's not to say that we think we're perfect and we've done no wrong. We obviously know we've done shit too. But it's a learning and growing experience. And one of my biggest hurdles that I've had to overcome is, like, not thinking people are the same as their past selves.
Yeah.
Because I'm not the same as my past self. So, like, if I want people to think that about me, I have to think that about them, you know?
Exactly.
And sometimes it's hard, but
it is really
hard. I think there are definitely aspects of perfectionism that I didn't even know. I'm like, oh, that kind of sounds like how I feel.
Oh my God, Alex, if I showed you the article my therapist sent me and you read through it.
Yeah. I think there is beauty in the middle ground of putting yourself first in situations that you think are important, even if it sounds selfish to others. And then also caring for others in other times when, like, you would maybe put yourself first, but then you shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's a balance that you have to kind of find, and every single person does fall on the scale at some point, you know, and as they grow and they evolve, if they are self-aware and they're, like, working on themselves, then they'll try to balance it out a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a process. So if anyone listening can relate to everything that I've said about being a perfectionist and how I feel and how I've been, like, you're definitely, obviously it's safe to say, like, you're definitely not alone. There's billions of people in the world, but I know that it's very easy to feel like you're really the only person that is going through something, even though, you know, logically, like, it's not true. Other people go through it, but, like, I'll think to myself, like, obviously other people go through it, but, like, I feel like my current situation is, like, I'm the only person that experiences this because I'm incompetent or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, actually, so many people go through things like this and feel this way. And if anything, are, like, in worse situations, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's a struggle, that's for sure, when you're always trying to please everyone. Yeah. It's impossible. It's actually impossible.
No, there's no way.
Yeah.
We hope you guys enjoy this episode. Rate us 5 stars. It helps us out a lot. And we're going to go now before my voice completely disappears.
Yeah.
But we love you guys and we'll talk to you next week.
And follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Tell Me Sis Podcast. Feel free to follow Tomo the Label on Instagram and TikTok as well. Again, it's Tomo the Label on both. And
we love you guys.
We love you guys. Bye.
Bye.